I think we're going to win multiple gold medals.
Ah, yes. Right.
Multiple gold medals.
Names.
Kelly Harrington is going to win gold. Paul O'Donovan, one of the best rowers in the world, and I would give us every chance of winning that.
OTB AM, weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app.
It is 15 minutes past eight. Keith Wood is with us this morning. Keith, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Ger. How are you getting on?
What do you think about the overall rude health of the Lions and the game of rugby at the moment? A nice, broad, existential question to start this conversation with this morning, Keith.
Yeah, that's just a tad aggressive, isn't it? to start off an early Wednesday morning. It's funny, I came across a couple of quotes this week, which I'll bring them up as this conversation goes along. But one of them is, the asset is not the name, it's the quality. And the asset that we saw over the last period of time wasn't fantastic, but it goes to a backdrop, and rugby goes to a backdrop, and the Lions tour goes to a backdrop of COVID, of isolation of players for 2 months, of no fans, of a very long season. And I ended up writing a couple of questions in terms of how are we all feeling after 18 months of COVID? You know, how fatigued are we from the mundane, from having to do an incredibly abridged version of life, you know, and how hard it has been for sports people. And I know they're getting, they get paid, and I know that they were able to play and work when other people weren't able to go out to work. But it's been tough. I think it's been very tough for them. I don't think there's a huge amount of joy in sport at the moment. So I think that's made it very, very tough. When I look at the Lions tour, look, and I don't know whether it's because of that backdrop or that becomes an excuse of it. But if I talk about the Lions first before we go about rugby, and it's interesting to talk about South Africa too, but if we talk about the Lions, the Lions is a coming together of the best players on these islands, right? So that's what it is. And in my view, the Lions is heavily player-driven, because peer-driven, because the quality of the guys that you train with on a day-to-day brings your level up. And you can talk about coaches till you're blue in the face, but what you want from a coach is a philosophy, and you want them to give you that sense of unity that requires... and that's my second quote of the day for Patrick Suskind. It's not a blend, but a unity. And it's that sense of oneness together. So I don't think we had that sense of oneness, or we did, but it was in the most conservative way possible for the Lions until Finn Russell stepped onto the field. And, you know, I laud his brilliance, and I get annoyed by his erratic play. But this was a guy that came of age on a field as a line, maybe as a rugby player. And I know he's done really good things, but he took total control of the game. And he showed a level of leadership that we haven't seen in the Lions on this tour. Where he went, everybody else followed. So there is the chink of the glimmer for the future, that actually sometimes you just need somebody to take the ball and run. He took half the balls flat, not all of them. But from the off, he didn't settle into the game. He has a hyper-confidence in his own ability, maybe almost an overconfidence, as if to hell it doesn't matter. But from everything I've spoken to, from the players I've spoken to, the coaches I've spoken to, they said, my God, does it matter so much for him? But it is his way, so he has a go. And all the other players reacted to him immediately. And for me, that's what a Lions is supposed to be. It's the best players and the players reacting to them. So I find that that's a big thing for me. And the other thought when I was watching the game was how many children grow up to follow a ball being kicked in the air? And not many, I'd say. I don't know that that's one of the things that they want to do. And we're just seeing too much of that. And I would find that more annoying than South Africa's rugby, the fact that the other teams are reacting to it by slowing everything down, by having a sort of trailed ruck, kicking the ball in the air, chasing and hoping for a 50-50 return. And I, for me, that isn't good enough. So I think we fell into a trap of playing a style where we wouldn't get beaten, as opposed to falling into a trap where we'd win by everything going right for us if we got the right bounce of the ball. I think that's too awkward.
Yeah, it's funny how, and look, we can't tell how we'll think about this in 10, 15 years' time, this tour, but at the moment it feels like the 2001 tour, it feels now retrospectively, was a successful tour in that the Lions played a brand of rugby that was breathtaking and exciting against the then best team in the world, and they produced three marvellous matches that stand the test of time as rugby spectacles. This time, we didn't get that experience, except maybe a little bit when Finn Russell comes off the bench. And it seems almost as if, I don't want to overstate this, because like Warren Gatland's job as a professional coach is to try and win those three tests. And if Liam Williams makes the pass, then he kind of gets out of jail a bit, and we're all like, oh, that's sensational, and you know, assuming that they go on to win it. But it feels a little bit like they didn't quite get or grasp the possibilities and the opportunity. And in a way, I'm not saying it's a betrayal of the Lions ethos, but it's a little bit of a betrayal of the Lions ethos.
Well, I think, and I'm going to say this, I kind of agree with you and don't agree with you, and I don't like sitting on the fence, right? So let's not do it in that fashion. I think the backdrop to spending all that time with a mask on your face for 2 months is means that things are made far harder. And this was the call, this was the call that it had to be. But actually, when the opportunity arose, and it arose a few times in the series to spark something into life, it didn't spark into life. I mean, the quality of the passing in the back line was poor for a huge amount of it. And so that's, whether that is for you're not supposed to pass, or it's a philosophy that actually you're going to only take it in and kick it and play in the right area of the field. And we'd always say play in the right area of the field. And it's why it isn't just the kick into the air, because everybody gives the stat, well, New Zealand kick more than everybody. It's the quality and the type of kick. It's how you turn opposition. It's how you find space. It's not speculative up in the air. And you can have great kickers and great chasers, but that still is speculative, because it's a requirement of the kick to be absolutely perfect for the players to be able to get it. But also, it has a high level of risk because of collisions in the air and elements of that. So it's a thing that should be used a couple of times a game.
Yes. But it's a virus in the game, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment.
Look, I think Ireland have done it too much. And towards the end of Joe Schmidt's tenure in particular, I think the last 12 months, because we had been found out the manner in which we played so well in 2018, when we got to 2019, the spaces that had been there weren't there. Some of the things weren't coming off, and we reverted to kicking it constantly. Munster do it too much. Consistently do it too much, slowing down the game. And the game, like, we've had a joy watching, and I it's funny, because an awful lot of the English Premiership rugby is pretty turgid. Yet towards the end of this season, we got some phenomenal games of huge quality. I think some of that is to do actually with a lack of relegation. And I've always been in favour of there being no relegation in the Premiership.
Yeah.
From all the time that I played there, but there was a freedom to play. So, we have a huge fear of being overcoached. That's one of the things I have. And you want to coach to get your skills better, but you want to be able to express yourself, and you want to have enough of leaders on the field to be able to do it. When we were looking at this Lions squad, there were very few people that we were saying were standout leaders. It caused huge confusion for us with who would take over from Alan Wynne. So much so that he came back. And, you know, I've read criticism of him in the paper that he didn't quite reach his standards. I think what he achieved in the three tests was pretty phenomenal, actually. Having had a host of shoulder injuries myself, for him to have the type of influence on the game that he did, which was largely heavy hitting, hard work that had to be done anyway, he did it. And he was a guy who did it. So I would have a lot of credit for him.
On the point of being overcoached, Keith, do you think that is a reaction to perhaps overcoaching going on within each of the four unions that represent the Lions?
I think there's overcoaching in that the coaches are looking at, like, it's an obsessive job description. Like, you're thinking, working day and night to how you can do things better. Like, what's to stop you tinkering all the time? And what's to stop you looking at every single piece of data and statistic and say, well, this will mean that we get a win. If I go back to South Africa for a moment and the criticism of South Africa's play, I don't subscribe to that criticism at all. That is actually how South Africa have played for as long as I know. They were always goal kickers. They always relied on goal kickers all the way back to Nas Botha. And before that, our older listeners will go before that. They always had a hard crashing centre like Danny Herber back in the day. They always had a big set of forwards. They always played really tough. That's actually how they play. I just don't know that every other team has to fall into it. And for me, one of the great joys of the last 10 years was watching diminutive Japanese team take the forward-obsessed, empowered team of South Africa apart in the World Cup, a couple of World Cups ago. Like, that goes down as one of the great performances, but it requires the highest level of skill. And I think we're falling too often into the idea that we need to emulate South Africa. And I've always said that the team that's closest to us is Australia, because we don't have the absolute ingrained skill that the Kiwis have. And no, I wish we did. And I wish we got ourselves to the idea that coaching from kids was entirely to do with the ball and handling and understanding where it is. And then that 2-1 never not happens, if that makes sense. But Australia always are a decent pragmatic blend of the two, where it's a very thinking rugby. And I know they're not in a great space at the moment, but it's very thinking rugby, and it's a really good use of the players that they have at their disposal.
I do want to ask about Gatland, because some of the English newspapers had already shooed him in as the next coach for the tour to Australia in 4 years' time. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't think he should be shooed in. It's like no player should be. You know, every time the Lions talk, they say there's no link from one Lions to the next, that it is a reflection of what's happening at that moment in time. So I don't think it should be. I think he has done some pretty amazing stuff, and I'm critical of him, and I have been critical of him in the past, and that's fine. That doesn't take away from some of the things he's done. Stuart Barnes wrote an article during the week in the Times where he has pretty much a fairly hefty cut at him, and I can see that side of it too, actually. And I want there to be a sense of freedom for the Lions to play. This is the best of the best. This is aspirational. That's what I'm looking at when I look at the Lions. And I've read a huge amount of negative commentary, whether this is an anachronistic, imperial team. But this is a tradition of over 100 years, 130-odd years, of the coming together of four teams, that it's incredibly awkward. People say, well, when Northern Hemisphere teams can go down and beat a Southern Hemisphere team, why do we need four teams to do it? It's because of the rarity value. It's because of the difficulty of it. It is because of the coming together of the four teams. It's how you get somebody to plant a philosophy on top of those so that this becomes a tour for the ages. That's...
Yeah,
because that's aspirational, but it's aspirational for players.
So Gatland's the wrong person to do that, though, isn't he? And at this point now?
Well, I think Gatland is an incredibly good, pragmatic international coach. You know, he has led Wales to a good few Grand Slams and championships. He's done very well. He's got Wales to a semi-final of a World Cup, and Ireland haven't got there. So there are lots of things that he has done well. He's had a Lions series win in Australia. He had a draw in New Zealand, which was, I mean, and some incredible performances that were in the midst of that. But on this tour, we just didn't get to, there just didn't seem to be the spark. So I used to describe, and I know we've definitely gone over this, but And I used to describe Ian McGeachan as the best coach of great players I've ever seen. And the reason for that line was he said, look, you're here for a reason. You're here because you're the best players on the four teams. And so we expect you to play at a higher standard than you've played up to this point because you're playing with better players. This is the philosophy in which we play. It's not overcoached, and I know coaching has changed since I've played, and I know the game has changed, but it is still about attacking space and having the skills to do the right things and to see it. I don't know that it's about having a fully programmed gameplay where you kick the ball off the field or up in the air for a huge amount. So, like, McGeachan's view on that was, it's up to you what you want to do. You know, any of the interplay that was on, you mentioned the 2001 Lions tour, none of that's coached. The idea is the philosophy to say, well, you have the freedom to go and play. And the expectation is that you'll play at the highest standard because it's incredibly difficult. And it might be two or three pieces of play that are higher standard than you'd normally play. That's all. And that's, for me, that's the one of the best windows for rugby is the difficulty of coming together as four teams. And it is getting them to play and to show things that excite more people to follow the game.
And look, I think if there had been fans in the stadiums for those games and it had come down to Morning Stand kicking and the entire place had been silenced for that kick, like, then it would have been one of the most dramatic things that we've seen over the last period of time. And there's every chance that the fans would have had marginal enough impact on that, perhaps with the red cards and the refereeing, it would have been ratcheted up even further than it was by Razzie. And so I totally buy your point that actually what we need to do is take a step back and view this through the prism of COVID. And I think that was a brilliant start to it. One last thing that we need to just get through is the back page of the London Times today has a story, and it seems well sourced. There's two reporters' names on it, that Razzie Rasmus faces a severe punishment for his video outburst. This will involve a time of being banned from the stadium. So it says that there will be a hearing in 2 weeks' time. So he'll be allowed to continue to work for the games against Argentina over the next 2 weekends, but he could face a number of sanctions, including a stadium ban. The case is unprecedented, and World Rugby is understood to want to make a statement to protect the game's values. Should Razzie be banned?
Look, I thought the rant was dreadful, and I really did thought it was dreadful, but I'm going to just flip back a little bit. I want Lions tours to be about the players. I want them to be about the guys that step onto the field, and this tour was a lot to do with coaches and directors of rugby and managers and their conversations off it. It was a huge amount to do with the referees and World Rugby and not having a proper plan for having an extra TMO down there. That caused a lot of the controversy that was there. It was one play followed by another play off it. And it actually does a disservice to rugby. I think he will be sanctioned, and I think he should be sanctioned for it, because I ended up watching the three matches, and sometimes it's very hard to have the confidence to stop and say, this is something we've done for a long while and it doesn't work well enough. In fact, it's making it worse. I got to the opinion that the TMO had to go, because we are undermining and destabilizing the referee to make the call. And people talk about the referee has too much authority, but it's the conversations that seem to happen going in and around it. So if you were checking 10 times to see whether a ball may or may not have gone forward, that's not a spectacle. That is so frustrating for every fan, And if you have a query at every single ruck, and there is a query at every ruck, and all rugby players accept the fact that, yeah, he was off his feet or he wasn't, and then it comes down to the spirit of the law and the referee's interpretation to say, well, he went off his feet first. But we've gone into this idea where everything is on, is up for review, everything. And that played actually into South Africa's hands.
Well, that second test, first half being 60 minutes long, is like,
it's a joke. Yeah. It's a joke, and it's wrong. And so, look, I think I actually think World Rugby need to look at the TMO. I think they need to make certain that it's there and considered for dangerous play. So anything to do with dangerous play, absolutely, that we can't have any dangerous play in it. But if we're looking for potential knock-ons, if we're looking to see for the grounding of the ball in the back of a mall that's going over it, I think you need to go back to the idea, is that a try? I think it's a try. Let's call it a try.
Yeah.
And yeah. For that to happen, it requires TV companies to say, well, we can't go through death by replay to try and check and see whether this is the case, because you have to take the fact that some things, like it has to be exciting, it should be 40 minutes. I often go back to the 1973 Barbarians game, and I know it's a Barbarians game, but half the passes were forward. Who cares? They're the best tries of all time, you know, and there has to get to a point of where you can play and say, well, I think he's put it down and that's fine.
Yeah.
So you're okay. Saying if his foot's in touch, well, actually, if his foot's in touch, we should look at that. And there's like, we just need to narrow the focus of this hugely. And I think if that happens, the game becomes stronger for it. And that could be the best outcome from this Lions tour, is that we try and get rid of some of the detritus that's floating around the game.
Well, that would be great. That would be some legacy indeed. Keith, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers, gents.
Keith, well, giving us some thoughts there on the Lions tour this morning.
I think we're going to win multiple gold medals.
Ah, yeah. Right.
Multiple gold medals.
Name names.
Kelly Harrington is going to win gold. Paul O'Donovan, one of the best rowers in the world, and I would give us every chance of winning that.
OTB AM. Weekdays from 7:30 AM. Listen on the OTB Sports app.